This is Risk Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pfingst, the makers of the much-loved Pfingst Canary. We start today's show with news of China's largest ever data breach. While the incident occurred months before, the breach came to light over the weekend after a threat actor posted an ad on an underground cybercrime forum claiming to have obtained the personal data of more than 1 billion Chinese nationals from a database server that was left exposed online by the Shanghai National Police. According to a sample released by the hacker, the data contains details such as names, addresses, national ID numbers, mobile numbers, and police and medical records. News outlets like CNN and the Wall Street Journal have confirmed the data's authenticity by calling some of the individuals listed in the sample. The threat actor, named China Dan, is currently selling the data for $200,000 worth of Bitcoin. Several security researchers said the attacker most likely obtained the files from a misconfigured Elasticsearch server that belonged to the Shanghai police and which had been exposed online for months before last week's events. In other major data breach news, the Marriott hotel chain confirmed on Tuesday a security incident after hackers broke into the company's IT network and stole 20 gigabytes of sensitive data, including some documents containing credit card information. Databreaches.net, which first reported the incident and had been in contact with the hackers, said the threat actor had been trying to extort the hotel chain over the past few weeks, asking for a ransom demand to not disclose the security breach to the public. In other breach news, hackers have also leaked the data of millions of users of Tutu.ru, a Russian online portal that can be used to book airplane, train, and bus tickets for national and international travel. Data for tens of millions of users has been leaked, including details such as names, home addresses, phone numbers, emails, passport scans, and even some hash passwords. Tutu confirmed the breach in a statement to Russian media. Now for some comedy news, a Palestinian group of hackers known as Sabarin, along with Iranian media, ran pompous reports on Monday about a cyber attack that crippled Tel Aviv's metro system. The problem, according to Israeli media, is that Tel Aviv doesn't have a functional metro system, which is still under construction, so the hackers didn't disrupt anything except some poor construction company's homepage. And since we're on the topic of comedy news, we also must mention the latest cryptocurrency platform hack. This one impacted Crema Finance, which said it lost $8.78 million worth of cryptocurrency over the weekend. According to blockchain security firm OtterSec, the attacker exploited a flash loan bug in the company's platform. In a series of tweets posted on Monday and Tuesday, Crema Finance said its investigation is going well and that they believe they already identified that threat actor's trail, including their Discord account. Moving on to tech news, the EU passed on Tuesday the Digital Services Act and the Digital Markets Act, two pieces of legislation meant to curtail big tech's powers and give more power to end users. The Digital Services Act is focused on user security, data privacy, and also takes great care to push companies to be more aggressive with content moderation, including cracking down on misinformation campaigns. The Digital Markets Act cracks down on walled gardens, forcing big tech companies to play nice with smaller companies, such as providing service interoperability. In government and policy-related news, the Russian government said that while at the start of the war, cyber attacks have disrupted the activity of many of its websites, the government and the private sector are getting better at stopping incoming attacks, especially DDoS attacks. Meanwhile, in Europe, a group of 67 MPs have called on the UK government to formally ban the sale and use of Dahua and Hikvision CCTV cameras in the UK. Equipment made by the two companies has been linked to human rights abuses and intensive surveillance in China's Xinjiang region. In US news, NIST announced on Tuesday that it chose the first set of quantum-resistant encryption algorithms meant to protect sensitive data against an attack from a quantum computer. The four selected algorithms are named Crystal Skyber, Crystal Delithium, Falcon, and Sphinx, and it said they would become part of the agency's post-quantum cryptographic standard, expected to be finalized in the next 2 years. Moving on to cybercrime and threat intelligence news, Cannabis ICAO, a security group inside the US cannabis industry, published a report last week on Ganja Mask, a threat actor targeting their members. Cannabis ICAO says Ganja Mask runs a network of websites posing as fake US-based cannabis stores. The role of this website is to collect payments and payment card details from customers who placed orders through the sites. Meanwhile, security firm Signia has published a report on Luna Moth, another new threat actor that since March this year has been engaging in hack and extortion attacks. Signia says Luna Moth uses spear phishing to infect victims with a remote access Trojan, which it then uses to steal sensitive data that can be used in a future extortion attempt. Signia reported that some extortion demands reached millions of US dollars. Now for some positive news. The threat actor behind the AstroLocker ransomware said they are shutting down their operation and have released free decryption keys for all their past victims. The gang told Blipping Computer they're now switching to running a crypto mining botnet. Now in some DevOps-related news, in a report published on Tuesday, Reversion Labs said it found 31 NPM libraries that contain obfuscated JavaScript code that would steal WebForm data. The NPM packages had been available on the NPM portal for the past 2 months, and the vast majority were disguised to look like tools meant for manipulating and working with icon images. Reversion Labs said the libraries contain hidden code that would steal any data that users entered inside forms on website or mobile apps where the malicious libraries would be accidentally included. The attack most likely targeted information entered in password fields and payment forms, data that threat actors could easily monetize. In malware-related news, security researcher Malware Hunter discovered a new ransomware operation this week, named Red Alert. According to Blipping Computer, this group has tools that can encrypt Windows and Linux-based VMware ESXi servers alike. In APT and cyber espionage-related news, Palo Alto Networks said it identified the suspected APT-29 campaign that abused BruteRatel, an adversary emulation framework developed by a former CrowdStrike and former Mandiant security engineer. In statements on Twitter, the BruteRatel author said they took actions against the licenses abused in these attacks, which they claim were sold on the black market. Also in APT News, Japan's SER team has published a report on new versions of vSingle, a malware strain used by North Korean state-sponsored hackers targeting both Windows and Linux users. This new report focuses on the updates to the Linux version, which has been updated to include the backup mechanisms for obtaining command and control server information from GitHub repositories. In addition, researchers from German security firm Sequinfra have also published a report on a campaign carried out by the Bitter APT against targets in Bangladesh. The campaign's end goal was to infect victims with the Almond Remote Access Trojan. In vulnerability news, James Forshaw of Google's Project Zero has published a technical analysis on a vulnerability that allows remote code execution and elevation of privilege in the Windows Kerberos service. The vulnerability, patched in April and June this year, can be exploited in unpatched systems via CredSSP, a Windows protocol designed to securely forward authentication credentials between a client and a remote server in an internal Windows network. And last but not least, the OpenSSL project released a security update on Tuesday to fix several security flaws, including a vulnerability that, under certain scenarios, can lead to remote code execution on a small subset of OpenSSL servers. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now Harun Mir, founder of Fingst and today's sponsor, wanted to share a small message with our audience.
We don't have a fancy splurb to add here. People like our stuff because it works. Check us out at canary.love. We're just super happy to be able to support independent media like Risky Business.
This is it for today's show. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to risky.biz and to our newsletter by going to riskybiznews.substack.com.